And welcome in. It's the Doug Russell Podcast, a chilly start to the week in Wisconsin, literally and figuratively, as the Aaron Rodgers saga continues. Where are we? How did we get here? And how did it all go wrong? It's all things that we're going to dive into today here on the podcast. It seems as we unearth this a couple of weeks in that it all began here.
The Miami Dolphins have traded the 26th pick to the Green Bay Packers. With the 26th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Green Bay Packers select Jordan Love, quarterback, Utah State.
Of course, everyone has an opinion, and Brett Favre has an opinion about everything. So you knew that he would have something to say about his successor.
I caution anyone of making assumptions that, I mean, maybe his, you know, disgruntled nature or anger or animosity or whatever is something else, something, you know, something that we don't know about. And knowing Aaron, and I think I know him fairly well. Mm-hmm. If he has a grudge, whether it be against the organization or a player or an arch rival, family, friends, he ain't budging. I don't see him coming back and saying, if this is not resolved, however, whatever the issue is, if it's not resolved, or even if it's resolved, but he feels like they got one up on him, he ain't gonna play. Mm. Knowing Aaron, he would sit. Now, it's not, you know, he would forego a lot of money, but he's also got a lot of money. In today's game, there's no reason he's 38, okay? What does that mean? I don't think it means a whole lot compared to other players that are now, Tom Brady being one of them, Drew Brees another one. I played, I think athletically, Aaron at 38 is probably not as beat up as I was at 38. He can still do – I think he's better right now than he's ever been, physically and mentally, which is scary for opponents. You know, don't you know the people that are in the division and the conference are going, stay out, don't play. Hate on the Packers. Whatever you got to do, just don't play.
Brett Favre on Aaron Rodgers. Another element of this story has been what is true and what isn't. Adam Schefter has come under fire for his lack of sourcing, but he stands by the crux of the story, saying that Aaron Rodgers called Brian Gutekunst, quote, Jerry Krause to other players, insinuating that Gutekunst was trying to tear down a championship-caliber team. Number one, there haven't been any championships that the Packers have won on Brian Gutekunst's watch. The Packers haven't won a championship in now more than a decade, so I'm not sure what that reference is even about. But nevertheless, here's the NFL Network's Mike Garofalo.
What do I make of it? I make that it is accurate. I mean, it's been one of the rumors that's been kicking around the last couple of days. I just, Mike Silver and I were discussing it the other day, and I said, well, I don't have anybody that heard it or saw it firsthand, but, you know, yeah, it's something that's been mentioned. And yeah, you're right, Andrew. I mean, it's Jerry Krause who dismantled that Bulls dynasty, but it's also Jerry Krause who built that Bulls dynasty. I mean, that's a big part of the story being left out here. But it does show the disdain, I think, for Brian Gutekunst's moves and what he's done as general manager. I don't know if it's a personal thing, but at least what he's done in his job that Aaron Rodgers has for him. And I'll add one more thing to this, because now it's all coming out, right? Now that the story's out there, everybody, oh, this happened and this happened and this happened. What I'm told from multiple sources is that Aaron Rodgers was telling the Packers' prospective free agents, basically, before you make any decision, I'm probably not going to be here, right? And to the point where he was telling them, I'm told, all the way back to the beginning of last season. Now, that was in the wake, the months after the team had drafted Jordan Love. Did they believe that was the case or take that into consideration as they made their individual decisions all along the way? Well, David Bakhtiari, who's about as close to Aaron Rodgers as it gets, signed an extension with the team in November. So I think, like a lot of us, the players were hearing that saying, yeah, he's upset, he doesn't love it here. But he'll be here come next season. Well, we don't know right now. And those players who decided on their future decided to make the decisions on their own futures for their own personal well-being rather than whether they thought that Aaron Rodgers was still going to be here. And by the way, those destination spots that he would like to get to, I'm told the players knew all, if not most, excuse me, if not all of those when they were hearing this stuff from Aaron Rodgers back in the fall.
All right, on the crossover on 97.3 The Game and our statewide radio network, we talked about how we've all consumed the Aaron Rodgers story. The news cycle that we've been living through for the last, I don't know, decade or so, give or take. I mean, everything's instant. Everything's instant. We got to know now. We have to have this. We have, and there have been different elements that have come out. I mean, it started. I mean, the draft was a week ago tonight, the first round of the draft. It seems like it was a year and a half ago almost.
Yeah. It's almost to like the hour as to when Schefter first went on ESPN and broke the bombshell. And earlier today, Schefter on DP said that it was not Aaron's camp that told him to put it out on draft day. And that kind of broke when we were on the right. phone with Burke. And I brought it up because it felt so clear cut. Like, this had to be a vindictive Rodgers planning it out, plotting after he dropped the beautiful mystery on us on January 24th. And you could tell that, and it kind of felt like when you listen to that soundbite where he thanks everybody, thank you guys all for being here, you know, all season. It's been really, really special. It felt different as to when he just walks away in a different press conference. You could tell that there was some real disdain and some frustration there that this has all been mounting. And Schefter said, when is the better time for me to drop this? I'm going to be able to be on television all night long, right? I mean, Schefter's not going anywhere, so they can drop back to him every single moment. ESPN, I'd also, and this is just him from his mouth as the guy that officially broke it, that it does feel like they could have said, hey, Packers, 9 a.m. Yeah, Brian, we got 5 hours before we go live with this that Aaron wants to be traded, and you guys have flown out there three different times to try to make him want to come back, and that even though Mercedes Lewis is back and Aaron Jones is back, he still wants out. You got a statement?
It's like setting the timer on the bomb.
And you just say,
the clock just started.
This goes at 2.
And then you walk away.
But then here's the question. Where does this come from, if not from Aaron? And the question becomes, it's not going to come from the Packers because it makes them look dumb. And it also, you want to talk about the worst possible timing for
the Packers.
For Gutekunst, because he knows that he's going to have to stand in front of reporters and talk about their first-round draft pick, who, by the way, is a complete afterthought that nobody's thought about because of everything that's been consuming the entire football world since, again, like, that's a good that you pointed out, Billy, we're coming up on about 20 minutes away from when this dropped. I feel like we should have a moment of silence or something, because that's when our whole world got turned upside down by this. So if it didn't come from Rodgers, where did it come from?
From Rodgers.
Sam Farmer report. We saw multiple different teams have already poked around. When George Payton was brought in, they said, we're going to fix the quarterback competition. We're going to bring in veteran presence. To have the thought that nobody in the NFL has been saying, did you guys listen to this dude all last year? He was way too chipper, having way too much fun, when they just slapped him across the face in disrespect. And he's just taking it. He's kind of just taking it. There's been mounting frustration over the last year that everybody in the league knows of. These circles are too tight for teams not to know was coming here.
If you want it, if you are Aaron Rodgers and you don't want to step up to a podium and look like the bad guy, they know how to use the media to their advantage.
Sure. So, but he can't contact other teams.
Correct.
You're not allowed to do that. There will be sanctions if Aaron Rodgers and his agent, if David Dunn's calling up, you know, the Eagles or the Bears or the Raiders or whomever.
Word is that it was going down, that the Niners reached out, the Broncos reached out, the Washington football team also reached out to David Dunn, that they were poking in, and the Packers want to go into some tampering violations here.
But we've also known that there's been this frustration, and you're right, it has been building, but it's been building because we've been waiting for the, you know, any word of a contract extension or a contract restructuring that's come out. And every time that Brian Gutekunst has stepped in front of a microphone, he's been asked about it, because you have to ask him about it if you're a responsible journalist. And I think that most of the reporters that cover the Packers are, and they've been doing their jobs. But the notion that Aaron is demanding that he wants out, I don't know where that comes from. Where else would you get that Matt LaFleur, Mark Murphy, and Brian Gutekunst are flying to California separately to go visit Aaron? If that's not coming from Rodgers, I don't think other teams have that information. It's proprietary stuff. I don't know how they'd get
it. Paul Allen said it came from the 49ers where he first got it.
Right. And since then, we have heard that Kyle Shanahan said he called LaFleur. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't the GMs talking.
Nope.
But it was Shanahan poking around with LaFleur. LaFleur says, no, nothing's happening there.
Yeah. Well, they've got a relationship that goes back years and years and years.
Right. And so was there a discussion? Yeah. Was it a quick discussion? Yeah. Did the GMs get involved? No. But Shanahan goes back to John Lynch and says, this is what happened. You know, sure. Nothing's going to happen there. Did anything happen prior to that?
We don't know.
But to circle back to my original thought here, if you're a Packer fan and this frustrates you, which it does, okay, you're honked off because you just want your quarterback under center trying to get to the Super Bowl again, and you don't want all the drama off the field. You just want things to be the way they were, okay?
But I also think that Aaron's overplayed his hand here.
He has. He definitely has, because Aaron Rodgers knows where his status is. And he's thinking,
he thinks
in his mind, and the fans will back me up on this, and public pressure will come back, and the Packers will have to do something. But do not, this is what I want to caution with, guys. Do not blame the people who are covering this.
Oh, of course not.
And say that everybody's trying to get clickbait. Everybody, mm-hmm. Okay, what everybody is doing is trying to do their job, and they're trying to get information. Are they always right? No, of course not. But they're not preaching to you. And that's what upsets me is when fans say, well, this guy's wrong and he shouldn't be telling. They're not preaching to you. They're telling you what they know and what they've been able to find out. Whether you want to believe it or not is totally up to you.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So you take it for what it's worth. And I remember, all you guys remember, a week ago when this first hit the fan, what did we all think? What did fans say? Nah.
Right.
No.
And then it was over 48 hours ago, and now it's starting to turn back around.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much this played into it, but Aaron Rodgers is the single smartest athlete I have ever been around. Don't think for a moment that at least it didn't filter to him what Burke Griffin was talking about and what Todd Rosiak, who covered the Timber Rattlers game the other night, tweeted about when Aaron came up on the Jumbotron. He got booed. 20 miles south of Green Bay.
He ain't in a good place.
Don't think that he doesn't know that. At least he'll never admit it, but don't think for a second he doesn't at least know that. And maybe if he's starting to come around, that might play a part of it. A few minutes from the crossover on 97.3 The Game, and also statewide. We're also heard on WNFL in Green Bay, Fox Sports 1070 The Game in Madison, as well as some other markets around the state. Now, I also had the chance to talk to a non-sports talk audience when WISN's Dave Michaels was sitting in for Mark Belling on the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show.
And now a guy who's been covering the Packers for as long as I think Curly Lambeau was walking the sidelines.
Not that long. I'm not that old. How old do you think I am, Dave?
I just basically called you old without calling you old.
No, Doug, you called
Russell,
me old.
Here on the Friday Afternoon Show. How you doing, Doug?
I'm great, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
Who is the longest tenured Packer reporter?
Oh,
would it
boy.
Be Silverstein?
Probably Silverstein.
The late 80s?
When I think television, I think even earlier than that, when I think television, it's Dan Needles at Channel 12 by a few months before Tim Van Boren.
Sure, but he covers everybody. I'm talking about strictly
just
focusing
Packers?
On covering the Packers.
I would probably either Silverstein or Bob McGinn. I know that he's had a couple of different stints at a couple of different places, but he's still really well plugged in. So it's one of the two, as we call them, scribes in the in the media biz.
You've been around the Packers for a long time. That gives you credibility for this Aaron Rodgers, or some people like to call it Brett Favre 2.0 saga. I don't want to get into the, well, John Kuhn said this, but then this guy on ESPN said that, because I think this is going to be our life as Packer fans for the next 6 weeks minimum, probably even longer. So I want to take some time, Doug, to go back and figure out how we got to this point. I love to use analogies. People get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
When they get divorced, it's not due to the thermostat being set at 73 as opposed to 72. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. I think the consensus seems to be, for those who've been paying attention, that the Jordan Love pick a year ago was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back between the Packers organization and Aaron Rodgers. But there was bad blood brewing even before that, correct?
Yeah, this has been a long time in coming, unfortunately. And I don't know what the first sign was, but I know what some of the signs were. Some of them, you know, when Alex Van Pelt, the Packers' popular quarterbacks coach, when he was let go a couple of years ago.
2017, I believe.
Yeah, that was a big one for Aaron Rodgers. Another one was when Ted Thompson stepped down, and it almost seemed as though they had these internal candidates, and Russ Ball was an internal candidate, and Brian Gutekunst was an internal candidate, and Elliott Wolf was an internal candidate, and it seems as though Rodgers preferred Elliott Wolf. I don't know if that's because he's Ron Wolf's son, and you go back to Ron Wolf and how aggressive he was at building the 1990s Packers into an eventual Super Bowl champion. That might have something to do with it. So that was perhaps another, I hate to use the word microaggression, but maybe that's accurate in this case. Aaron Rodgers is a very sensitive guy. And
the person.
Yeah, well, both. I think the person, I mean, he's a durable quarterback. I don't want to, you know, he's not soft on the field or anything like that. But emotionally, he's sensitive. And he takes things hard. And you can make the argument, as has been made a lot in the last now week plus, that, well, that's what's made him a great football player. And that's partially true. But it also can adversely affect you as well when you look at some of his interpersonal relationships that he's had in his life.
How much of this is the fact that he's a superstar quarterback, an MVP quarterback, as opposed to just the face of the franchise? Because those who I think support Aaron Rodgers and what he's trying to accomplish say, look, this is just the way the NFL is. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, before he got into off-the-field issues in Houston.
That's one way of putting it.
Going back to a different sport, the NBA has been able to, their star players basically work their way out of the organization for reasons a lot less nuclear than the Packers right now. So how much of it is his status as MVP versus someone who just wants a shot to win another ring?
I think they play off of each other, honestly, because if you have a superstar, they're treated differently. You can't treat, for example, you can't treat Mark Belling the same that you would treat Doug Russell in our building, for example. Mark is the superstar on WISN and everybody knows it. So I'm going to be treated a lot differently than he is, and rightfully so.
And this has been going on for decades in all sports.
Absolutely. This is as long as sports has been sports.
Social media. You know, look, Brett Favre, what was it? He didn't have to come to some of the training camps and his playbooks were on an iPad and kind of sent off.
Had his own locker room, things like that.
Exactly. I mean, this has been going on for a while, but I think Aaron Rodgers, at least in the eyes of Packer fans, has been taking this to whole new levels.
Yes and no. Again, it goes back to my analogy of superstars are just treated differently. And Brett was treated differently, as all the things that you had just mentioned. And there were other things as well. And Aaron saw that through the first 3 years of his career as he was backing up Brett. And the mantra was, I just want to be one of 53. I just want to be one of 53. I don't want to put myself above any of these other guys. That's what he has said. I'll give you a short example of it. One of the things that Brett used to do every Wednesday during the season is have a media availability in the auditorium. And he was the only player to have that in the auditorium during the week. Well, Aaron saw that and said, you know what? I'm one of 53. Let's have it at my locker. And I've been in that scrum so many times, I can't even tell you how many times my arm has fallen asleep because Aaron wanted to be one of 53 when the rest of us were like, okay, after like a decade, we get it, Aaron. Can you just do this in the auditorium?
A little ballroom here, buddy.
So we're not literally, you know, in each other's private space, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Especially nowadays with social distancing and whatnot, it would never fly. So he might be in the auditorium from here on out. That would be fine with us. But that was just one example of how Aaron didn't want to be Brett, but then he turned into Brett. He does have special privileges. Now, he didn't park underneath the stadium like Brett did. He didn't have his own parking spot where, like, the head coach and the general manager park. That never happened for Aaron. But he wants to be consulted on personnel decisions. He's not alone in that. It was one of the reasons that Tom Brady left the New England Patriots. It was one of the reasons, now I think, that Aaron saw the example of Tom Brady, someone who didn't feel like he was getting enough credit, maybe enough. It doesn't even go back to money. It just goes back to
ego.
Yeah. Yeah. That
ego.
Yeah, ego. And his wasn't being fed enough in New England. So he goes to another place that hadn't won in a decade.
Made the playoffs, Doug. Tampa Bay hadn't made the playoffs in a decade.
Right. And look, they had a couple of really good players. Chris Godwin's a good wide receiver. Mike Evans is a good wide receiver. But nobody thought that they were going to win the Super Bowl, even with Brady, and then they win the Super Bowl. Don't think for a second that Aaron Rodgers did not see that.
And they beat him on his own field in the NFC Championship
game. That didn't help.
No, I get why Aaron, and I don't know him. I've only met him twice.
Yeah.
And when I say met him, was in the same room.
Sure.
Never talked to Aaron Rodgers. I get how he's programmed. I understand the rationale based on what little information, who knows if it's accurate, that is available. My question, Doug, is what can an organization, not just the Packers, but an organization do to still put the team first, but also placate these superstar athletes with superstar egos?
Because
clearly the Packers, at least in the eyes of Aaron Rodgers, haven't been able to do that.
That's kind of the secret sauce, isn't it? Because what I think the Packers needed to do, and this is where I put some of the blame on Brian Gutekunst and his staff. They know that Aaron Rodgers is what we were talking about a few minutes ago, super sensitive. He's always been like that. He'll always be like that. And when you have that superstar in any walk of life, again, you're going to treat them differently. I'm not saying that they had to get permission from Aaron Rodgers to draft Jordan Love. I am not saying that.
See, how would that work? Because go ahead.
What I am saying is that the conversation needed to happen before the draft, not while the Packers are on the clock, not while they're trading up, but before the draft. We just want to give you a heads up. If certain things fall a certain way, we might go in this direction. We don't want you to be flat-footed because you are the face of the franchise. You are the most important player on this team. And quarterback is not only it's the most important position in sports.
Agreed.
And you have to treat that guy differently. I'm sorry that rubs some people the wrong way, but that's the fact of the matter.
But as emotional as Aaron is, how do you do that when maybe you don't know you're going to draft a quarterback? Look, drafts don't play out.
Sure.
Aaron Rodgers is a perfect example of that when he was picked back in 2005. I always remember the year because I was dating a girl from Minneapolis, and I was in Minneapolis the day of the draft. That's how I keep track of that stuff. The Packers probably didn't go into that draft. I know they didn't go into that draft thinking they were going to pick a quarterback, let alone a top five graded quarterback like Aaron Rodgers was.
No, they wanted. So they really wanted Brandon Ayuk, who was taken right before him at number 25.
Last year. Yes. Correct. Why would you, if you're Brian Gutekunst, go to Rodgers, hey, we're thinking about taking a quarterback?
No, that's a face-to-face.
You have no idea if you're going to take a quarterback or not.
By
that standard, you're always thinking about taking a quarterback.
No, well, it's different in the sense that it's the first round. If the Packers would have drafted a quarterback in the fifth round or sixth round or seventh round, Aaron Rodgers would not have cared. At all. Not one scintilla. But when you trade up to take a quarterback, you're signaling to Aaron Rodgers in this case that this is your heir apparent. This is your replacement. We're spending a first-round draft pick on him. And again, the conversation is before the draft. It's face-to-face. And we need to give you a heads up. This is what we're thinking. If we can't get Brandon Ayuk, if we can't get Justin Jefferson, both players that were drafted before Jordan Love, in that draft, but they all fell into the 20s as well. I think Jefferson was drafted 20th overall, and then Brandon Ayuk was 25th overall, if memory serves. And then Jordan Love, they traded up to 26. You have to have the conversation, if this falls and this falls and this guy falls and this guy falls, we're thinking we might draft a quarterback in the first round. We don't want to catch you off guard if that happens. And look, Brian Gutekunst on draft night a week ago said as much. He's like, look, our communication could have been and should have been different. There's no question about that. Those are Brian Gutekunst's words, and I think he's right.
If he would have done that, are you saying that we're not even having this conversation right now? Because based on everything that I already mentioned, there was already bad blood between number 12 and the organization before a year ago.
It goes back to what we were saying about how this was kind of building up and building up and building up. And if that conversation would have happened, I don't think that you and I are having the same conversation, though. I think that the lines of communication at least would have been a little bit more open. But again, you go back to 2019, and here's the thinking of Aaron Rodgers. The Packers, the first year of Matt LaFleur as head coach, they went 13-3 into the NFC Championship game. Now, they got clobbered by San Francisco in the NFC Championship game, but the fact of the matter remains, they were one game away from going to the Super Bowl. They were very close. They were not far off at all, even with Aaron Rodgers, for him, not having a typical Aaron Rodgers season. But the two best players on the Packers offense in 2019 were the starting quarterback and the starting running back.
Mm-hmm.
The first two picks that the Packers made just a few months later in the draft, a backup quarterback and a backup running back, and they followed that up with an H-back. That's not helping the team that was one game away from the Super Bowl to make that next push to then get over the top. If you're Jacksonville, if you're, I don't know, Cincinnati or Houston or a team that's rebuilding, that's what you do. You draft for a couple of years down the road. You draft that quarterback of the future. You draft that running back that's going to help you maybe not this season, but maybe the season after that. If you're really close, as the Packers were, that you got to play for the now while you have this Hall of Fame generational talent that the window is closing on. And it, no matter how many years Aaron Rodgers has, I mean, he's made the turn. He's, I don't know if he's putting out on 18 or anything like that, but he's at least teeing off on 17, and he knows that, and that window is closing. Sometimes you just have to push your chips in the middle of the table and go for it, and the Packers didn't in that draft in 2019.
Doug Russell here on the Friday afternoon show, News Talk 1130 WISN. Are you surprised that, I'll say, an overwhelming majority of Packer fans seem to be on team green and gold as opposed to team Aaron? I know it's still early, and this thing's going to twist in the wind for many months, but at least initially, I saw the Timber Rattlers game in Appleton. There was a Bergstrom commercial.
On the Jumbotron, and he got
Aaron
booed.
Was booed. So at least initially, the team seems to be supporting the Packers. Now, of course, this thing completely blows up and they start 0-6. They'll be back on Team Rodgers, but at least as of today, Friday, they seem to be backing the Pack.
The optics aren't good right now for Aaron Rodgers. The optics for the quarterback look like he's a petulant little child. And in some cases, he kind of is. He's looking, a lot of fans are looking at Aaron Rodgers as saying, you're the guy who makes, you know, the $25 million.
More than that.
Yeah, well, right. Whatever his cap hit is going to be, it's pushing over 30, I think it's 32 now. So you're the guy who's making $32 million. You're making, you know, 30, 35% of the cap. And you're going to complain about not being consulted about this, that, or the other thing, and you're going to take your ball, suck your thumb, and go run in the corner? Screw you.
But it's not just a money thing. In this case, a lot of times athletes do hold out
it's
for
always
more
a money,
money
thing to fans.
Sure, that's what he's looking for. But in this case, it's more, I think, a lot of Packer fans will look at Aaron Rodgers, a guy who got Mike McCarthy fired. Whether it was fair or unfair, Mike McCarthy, I think a lot of people believe his time as head coach had come to an end, but the way it went down seems to fall on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders. He gets the head coach that he wants. He gets the running back that he's been looking for years, and Aaron Jones. In other words, the Packers have done a lot for Aaron Rodgers, especially recently. You only hear about Aaron being upset that Jay Kumerow is no longer on the team. You mentioned their quarterback coach, but the Packers have also given him a lot of weapons to have the MVP kind of seasons that he's had. So it's not like it's a one-way street here, and I think that's one of the main reasons why Packer fans, again, seem to be following their team and not their quarterback.
Well, and the team's always going to win out at the end of the day.
Not with Brett.
Oh, no. Brett
not
was,
during
no,
Brett's saga in 08.
But eventually the fans came around because when Brett
when he
came,
joined the Vikings.
When he joined the Vikings. And as long as he was a Jet, he was fine because
exactly.
The Jets are in the other conference. It's not a rival. The Packers almost never play the Jets. I think they play them once every, 4 years?
Sure.
Or something like that. And the only way that you would see Brett is in the Super Bowl. And I know I remember fans saying, well, wouldn't that be fun if we were in the Super Bowl when we saw Brett Favre again, as long as he's wearing a Jets uniform. But once he put on the purple, I mean, the fans turned. And that was a nasty divorce. And one of the things that we heard from Brett earlier this week is that if there's anything that he can counsel Aaron on is, if this is the end, don't go out like that. Because it took a while for Brett to come back into the good graces of Packers fans. Now, obviously, it happened. 60,000 fans showed up on a non-game day in the middle of summer to watch him wave and say thank you for 15 minutes and paid money to do it.
Oh, the Green Bay news coverage was at the airport, Austin Strable, and he landed his private jet that night. I remember that.
Yeah, and I was standing on the field. I was in the end zone when that it was one of the most surreal moments of
but
my
yet,
30-year
Aaron Rodgers,
career.
Who was there and who was booed still is now following the path of that guy who, let's be honest, Brett should not be throwing stones in this glass house, giving advice on how to end a relationship or...
Right. But this is, it's playing out exactly the same way.
I agree.
Almost. And the Packers, look, Brian Gutekunst was around as well.
Yes,
I know
he
that
was.
He was, as he liked to say, well, I was a scout. I was, you know, on the road doing this, that, or the other thing while the whole thing was going on in training camp. That's all well and good. He was still part of the organization, and he saw how that divorce affected Ted Thompson. It affected the Packers. It affected Packers fans. It affected Brett. When you have that generational talent, as Brett was, as Aaron is, you at least have to acknowledge that and manage that to a certain extent from your end. And I don't think the Packers... If there's a criticism that the Packers, I think, should rightfully wear, it's that they have not done that I think, to an acceptable satisfaction.
Magic 8-ball question.
Okay.
How does it play out?
I don't know.
I said 2 years ago Aaron would have 2 years left. I'm going to stick with that. Somehow they make up because...
So you said 2 years ago that he's got 2 years left? So he should be done now.
Drafted. No. We have 2 years left after Jordan Love was drafted. This is year one. Somehow the Packers, since they're built to go to a Super Bowl again this year, they're going to be in cap semi-hell a year from now.
Oh, they will be.
They already are in cap hell right now, but they're going to be in cap semi-hell a year from now. They go all in this year. Aaron goes away. Who knows whether he retires and makes babies or hosts Jeopardy or... plays with the Broncos.
Whatever's
that I don't
next.
Know. But he's got one more year at the Packers. Somehow they'll figure it out financially and they'll save face. That is my prediction.
That's not unreasonable. That's not unreasonable. I think that what we're seeing and what we've seen in the last 48 hours is maybe a little bit of a tide shift. And maybe it started with that Timber Rattlers game, as innocuous as it sounds for 3,000 fans at a minor league baseball stadium to kind of turn the tide. It would have been unfathomable just a week prior to having Aaron Rodgers, 20 miles south of Lambeau Field at a sporting event, be booed.
Well, what did he think was going to happen?
He thought what was going to happen was what happened to Brett when he tried to come back in 2008, and the fans would...
Not the same.
It's not, but that's what he... If I can crawl into Aaron Rodgers' mind...
Godspeed.
That's... pray for me. But if I could, I think that's probably... It's like, well, they loved Brett so much. They wanted him back so badly. They were booing Aaron Rodgers in training camp in 2008. And I think that Aaron thought that that would translate to him because he's had a career that's been... in a lot of ways on the same career path trajectory that Brett's was, but the way that this attempted divorce or whatever you want to call it, this mess that we're all living through right now, again, and I did cover all of that nonsense in 2008, and there are so many parallels, but I think that what he saw was that the fans were so behind Brett, they loved him so much that would happen with him no matter what he did. And I think he's finding out that that's not necessarily the case.
Doug, thanks for coming in this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. All right. That was me sitting in with Dave Michaels, who was sitting in for Mark Belling on the Mark Belling Late Afternoon Show on News Talk 1130 WISN. So there are going to be a lot of twists and turns as this story continues to unfold. Rodgers' teammate Devontae Adams joined the Colin Cowherd show on Fox Sports 1. Cowherd asking Adams about the Packers' lack of communication with Rodgers before certain moves to bolster the team were made.
When Aaron complains about that, do you defend him on that? Do you see that sometimes?
I defend my guys on everything, man. I mean, this is, we all know it's a pretty dense business. There's a lot that happens, a lot that goes on here. Just like any other job, you want to be happy and you want guys, once you have gained that respect, you want to be treated with that type of respect. So there's certain things that, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. And, that can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and his really laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing. Obviously, I'm praying everything works out and that we get him back and, we can continue to go out there and do stuff like what you see on the screen there, because it's a lot of fun doing that.
But then the question becomes, with his own free agency coming in a year, would Devontae Adams want to return to Green Bay if Aaron Rodgers isn't there?
Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. That's the only guy that I've had, other than that 2017 season when he got hurt. It's the only guy that I played with. And, we built up a special connection over the years that has made it, put us both in really good positions in our career. Not that he needed me to come along for it because he was already in that spot, but we established a lot together. So it would change a lot, man. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
Finally, Devontae Adams revealed that he has spoken with Aaron Rodgers since all of this broke a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we talked a little bit. It's been, a lot is still being, figured out on his end. So it's tough for me to get into specifics and speak on it. Honestly, I would love to. Can't wait till I can just get on here and tell you that he's back and we're back doing our thing that we've been doing. But for now, it's just, you know, you got to iron out a few things, and then, you know, hopefully I'll be back on the show. We'll be celebrating, taking shots and whatnot.
Devontae Adams on the Colin Cowherd Show on Fox Sports Radio. That'll do it for this edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. But this is the soap opera that we've all been living through in the sports world here in the state of Wisconsin. I can't tell you how many other shows have contacted me to try to get my take on this whole drama that's going on between Aaron and the team. It's unprecedented to a certain extent, but it also feels like, to a certain extent, we've lived through this before in the summer of 2008. And from that standpoint, it's really disappointing that the team hasn't learned anything from it. And it's also disappointing that Aaron has chosen to go down this path as well. And there's one thing that Brett Favre did tell Aaron Rodgers is that you don't want it to end this way. Every relationship comes to an end, whether it's a business relationship, a personal relationship, a relationship between a team and their fans. Every relationship comes to an end. The best relationships wind up with somebody in a pine box, right? Because, you know, you can't outlive everything. And if Aaron Rodgers, like, I'll give you an example. The relationship between Bart Starr and the Green Bay Packers came to an end, but it only came to an end when Bart died. That's the most successful relationship that you can possibly have. Till death do us part. You don't want to go out like this if you're Aaron Rodgers. And I know that the Packers are trying to shovel money his way. I'm not sure that that's going to be what motivates Aaron Rodgers to want to come back. But again, this is and will continue to be the dominant story probably when you look back at 2021, no matter how this thing plays out. But anyway, that's just kind of a snapshot of what we've all been living through over the last week or so. But that's it for today's program. Obviously, as I mentioned, the soap opera is going to continue. And as events warrant, not only will be talking about it here on the Doug Russell Podcast, but also on the radio station you can hear me on 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee and all around the state of Wisconsin as well. Don't forget to hit us up on our socials. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Doug Russell Pod, or you can just find us on our website. That's where all of our shows live. You can also link to our Twitter, to our Instagram, to our YouTube, to our Facebook, everything that we do. Very simple, one-stop shopping, www.DougRussellPod.com. Again, www.DougRussellPod.com. That's it for today. Hopefully it warms up here in the state of Wisconsin at some point. June is right around the corner, and hopefully there'll be some resolution to this whole stupid Aaron Rodgers story as well. But again, that's it for today. We will see you next time. Take care, right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.